Welcome to Faith Point, the podcast ministry of First Southern Baptist Church of Prescott Valley, with Senior Pastor Terrell Eldrith. Our goal is to allow our faith to intersect with real life. So let's join Pastor Terrell today as he shares with us from God's Word.
Would you go ahead and take out your Bibles and take your sermon notes out of the ministry guide, if you would? And if you don't have those online, you can pick them up as well. And we're going to spend a little time here in the Word of God. And so let's bow in prayer. Father, speak to our hearts now as we open your Word. We pray that Jesus would be glorified by every decision that we make. We pray against Satan, who doesn't want us to follow your Word. He doesn't even want us to hear it. Father, we pray that he'd have no place in this room in our lives. We pray, Father, that Jesus would be glorified in everything that we do, in everything that is said. Now, Father, would you touch us in those areas where we need to be touched? Maybe it's a change that needs to take place in our lives, in our heart, in our thinking, maybe in our actions. Father, we pray that you would just open our eyes to those things that you want to do in our lives. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. This morning we're gonna pick up what we've been talking about. We're talking about between Sundays, what we do when we're not here, and we've been looking at this for a couple of weeks. We're gonna look at it today and then next Sunday as well. And I am gonna ask you to do me a favor. Would you pray for Barbara and I? We have to take off really right after church gets out, and we're going to drive to San Diego. I'm going to officiate at a memorial service, a funeral service tomorrow morning for a good friend. And so we pray that you'll just give us pray for a safe journey, and that we'll have a chance to be able to share with some people that good news of Jesus Christ. But for today, we're gonna spend a little bit of time here and just let God speak to what he wants to do in terms of who we are and what he's doing in our lives. And so as we get started today, between Sundays, just a couple of days before the crucifixion, literally just 2 days before, 2 evenings before, Jesus gathers all of his 12 disciples, and he calls them together in a room, and they share a meal together, and that was not uncommon that would happen, but what we find is that Jesus is using this as a teaching time. And he's going to teach a principle that he's talked about quite often in the 3 years that he's been with these men and they've been following him. But he's going to come down to it and give it to them one more time in a way that is very startling. It really becomes a radical call to this principle that he has been talking about off and on, over and over again. It's found in John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, that fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 13, and we're going to be looking, really the story takes place in verses 1 through 17, and this is what we read. It was just before Passover, the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Verse 4 says, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Verse 6 says, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord Simon replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew that he was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Then in verse 12, it goes on to say, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you, he asked. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than the master or his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. That is a radical message. It is a radical message in Jesus' day, and it is a radical message in our day. And that's it's a radical challenge to be like Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, on this night before Passover, it was Thursday night. And in church tradition, this is called Maundy Thursday, because Maundy means in Hebrew, or excuse me, in Latin, a command. It just means the word command. And so what Jesus is doing on Maundy Thursday is he's giving this radical command. And the disciples are having trouble with it, especially Peter. But he says, this is something that you are to obey. So John tells that Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and return to the Father. And then John says, as he starts this portion out, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He knew that this personal one-on-one time with them was quickly drawing to a close. And he was determined he was going to love them all the way. So John was saying that he loved them, that no matter what, Jesus kept loving them. And it was kind of a come what may kind of love. Whatever happened, Jesus was still going to love them. That's a kind of love that says, whatever happens, my love is never going away. My love will never die. So what Jesus does next could not have been anticipated. Not in the way that it happened. In fact, it would have been more likely for him to break out in song and dance than to do what he does. But this is what Jesus was teaching. And so he does that. So after the meal, John tells us that Jesus took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and drying them with that towel. And that's when Simon Peter says, no, Lord, you're not going to do that for me. That's not good for you to do. Now, this was an ancient custom. This was not something that Jesus made up on the fly. This has been around for centuries now. And so why would Peter resist something that was a custom? Because it wasn't happening the way that he expected. He was objecting to the idea of having his feet washed. It was the who was washing him that he was having a problem with. That Jesus Christ, the Lord, would do that. That wasn't what you normally saw happen. Washing feet was very common. When you went to visit somebody or you had guests coming in, especially to your home, because people wore sandals, for those of us who grew up, especially in Southern California back in the 60s and 70s, they were wearing huaraches, if you will. Some of you have to go home and look that up. You don't know exactly what that means. But they were like flip-flops. Only these were open-toed sandals, and so everywhere they went, they just got dirt on their feet. And so by the time they got anywhere, even if they started out clean from their house, by the time they got to even a next-door neighbor, their feet weren't clean anymore. They were filled with dirt and sand and dust and who knows what else as they were walking on those streets. And so a good host, a gracious host, would provide foot washing. If they were well-to-do, they would have a servant come, and that servant would wash the feet. And if they didn't have a servant, they would provide a basin of water, and they would provide towels, and people would wash their own feet. And so it is kind of like when you go to somebody's house and they say, take your shoes off, please, at the door. You know, you can wear your socks, but we don't let you walk through our house with shoes on. Well, they were saying, you can leave your sandals at the door if you want to, but your feet are really dirty. We're going to wash them first. And so either somebody else would wash them or they would wash them, but the owner of the house wasn't the one who ever did that. Because washing feet, if you were washing somebody else's foot, that was considered probably the worst job in the whole world. I mean, that was a bottom of the rung entry into the workforce job. Nobody wanted to do that. People's gross feet, and you got to wash them and dry them. And so that was something somebody else would do. And John just can't wrap his head around the idea that Jesus would wash his feet. So he said, you know, Jesus, literally and figuratively, this is the lowest part of my body. I don't want you touching that. I don't want you to be defiled by that. I don't want that to be the case. And so in verse 8, he says, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I do this, you'll have no part of me or with me. And then in verse 9, then Lord Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. And so afterward, after that had happened and Jesus had washed the feet of everybody in the room, he put on his outer garment again and took his place at the table. And he said to his disciples in verses 13 through 15 again, he said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. So here's the radical idea that Jesus is sharing and that I alluded to. The radical idea is that we are here to serve. That's our job. As Christians, we are here to serve. It doesn't matter who you are. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you're here to serve. None of us are exempted from that. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you became a servant. You're to serve. We are to serve one another. That's our responsibility. That's what we are to do. And we may consider ourselves above that, beyond that, too good for that. That's too gross to do. That person is dirty. That thing is ugly. I don't want to be a servant. And Jesus said, I'm not leaving you any options here that are any good. Either you're a servant or you're no part, you have no part with me. And so you got to take that up with him. You don't have to argue with me, argue with Jesus on that one. Notice John stopped arguing real fast. He thought, I serve or no part with Jesus. I'll take Jesus, thank you. And he started learning the lesson. not getting there real fast, but he's learning the lesson, and he's hearing what Jesus is saying. And so we might consider ourselves, you know, on the way up somewhere, and we're not going to do that. We're too beyond that. We're too sophisticated for that. We got too much education for that. We're not at the bottom of the rung anymore, just getting started with life. He said, this is for all of us. We're all to serve. Matthew 20:28, Jesus said it this way, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so the implication is, if Jesus came to serve and not to be served, that makes that our responsibility too. That's our job. That's our task as well. So we're in this series on what we do between Sundays as Christians. Maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've never been in church very much, and you think, well, Christianity is all about Sundays. Everybody goes to church on Sunday. And so it must just be a Sunday thing. So that means between Sundays, I can do whatever I want to do. And we're discovering that, you know what, we've got things that we do between Sundays that are not just wasting time, and they're not just about sinning. They are about growing in our faith in Jesus Christ. So 2 weeks ago, as we began, we looked at the priority, the first priority of God's Word, our relationship with God's Word, that we turn to His Word and we find wisdom to move forward. We find the grace and the wisdom to know how to live for Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about priority number two, which is prayer. And prayer is to be an everyday thing. It's to be even more than an everyday thing. We are to pray continually. That means not just on Sundays, and not just in the morning when we get up, or not just before a meal that we eat. It is to be a constant thing. And why do we do that? Because we discovered we are powerless without prayer, and Satan is powerless with prayer. And so when we spend time with God in His Word, and we spend time constantly with Him in prayer, we find ourselves in a place of victory, not defeat. And so we're able to find that victory over Satan and living in the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. And so today, we're talking about the third priority. And the third priority is simply that we are called to serve one another. It is the priority of serving one another. All of us are to spend time in His Word. All of us are to pray. All of us are to serve one another, and it is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week responsibility. So it's part of what we do between Sundays. And so as we began to look at this, we got to find out that service is something that's important. It involves doing what you do for the benefit of other people. You can't serve yourself, you serve other people. And so how do we serve other people for their benefit? That's our calling, and it's an everyday thing. So today, we're gonna find three things out. We're gonna discover the heart of a servant as we look at three reasons we are to serve others. Three reasons why we serve other people. First of all, you serve because you love. That'd be the number one reason for serving. You serve because you love. Jesus loved these men. And He was going to love them to the very end. And because He loved them, He served them. We serve because we love. Verse 1, having loved His own who were with Him in the world, He loved them to the end. And a couple of pages later in your Bible, when you get to John chapter 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus was going to love them to the bitter end, and the bitter end meant that He was going to the cross. And He was going to die there for their sins. And so whatever the cost of that service was, He was going to do it. He wasn't going to cut any corners. He loved them to the very end. And he's talking about this sacrificial service. And the easiest way to understand that is that serving one another becomes more doable when you love people. If you decided you love them because God loves them, not because they're lovable or unlovable, just simply because it's something that God does. God already loves them. Jesus already loves them. When you have that "I love people because God loves them" attitude, it's much easier than for you to love them and to serve them. And so we imitate what we see Jesus doing. A life coach named Jim Rohn once said that the bigger why the bigger the why, the easier the how. Got to get that right. If you're wondering how you're going to do that, if you know the why, the bigger your why is, becomes easier on the how to do it. For Jesus, he said, "I love you with everything I've got. And I'm going to the cross for you." That's the how. So when you have a big why, you can have a big how in terms of service. Love is the why behind the service. I serve because I love you. A pastor a while back, a young pastor and wife, involved in a church, loved their church, loved each other. She came down with multiple sclerosis. And then his job changed. And some of you would understand that. His job became, number one, taking care of his wife. It means he did everything for her, eventually. He fed her. He changed her diaper. Everything that had to be done, he did it. Until one day, he couldn't do that anymore. He had loved her with everything he had to love her with. I put it in past tense because a couple years ago she passed away. That's a big why. Because he loved his wife. And serving her was his calling. It was the how he was going to serve her. That's what Jesus is doing. That's this radical call that he's giving. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "Serve one another humbly in love." We serve because we love. We just humble ourselves. And we do what is loving to people around us. Not even just people that we know and love, but everybody around us. So we have to ask ourselves each and every day, what am I doing for the benefit of others? Have you asked yourself that question today? Have you asked yourself that question last week? Did you ask yourself? Maybe last month? Did that ever come across your radar? What am I doing right now? Today, to benefit somebody else? Or is everything I'm doing benefiting me? Does it benefit me in some way? Because that's not service. Service is when I benefit somebody else. When I see something and I do something about that. Whether I know that person or not. I've known I was going to preach for several weeks. Started working on this about a month and a half ago, maybe a little more, putting these sermons together. I had all my notes ready and thought, I'm good to go on this. So Barbara and I we went out yesterday morning and we were walking through the mall, and there was this gentleman who was who was sitting by himself right by the door of our mall. I was thinking about other stuff. I was talking to Barb. We walked out the doors of the mall, and she said, "He's homeless back there." I said, "Who are you talking about?" I didn't even notice anybody sitting there. She said, "He's not begging. He didn't do anything. He's just sitting there." She said, "I think he's hungry." I said, "Okay." She said, "Get your wallet out." I opened my wallet. She took out what she wanted. Nothing unusual about that. We walked back in. She walked over to this gentleman. Got his attention. Hadn't said a word to us. Just looked up. And she said, "You know what? God loves you. And so do I. Would you go get something to eat?" And he literally looked shocked. Am I doing something that benefits somebody else? Or is it just all about me? Or me and my family? Me and my friends? There's a whole world of hurt. Some of it's in here, most of it's outside of these four walls. That's why this is what we do a lot of between Sundays. Because it's in those days where we encounter people who are hurting, where we encounter people who need to know somebody cares and that somebody loves them. And so, am I doing anything that's gonna meet somebody else's? And you can't kid yourself into believing that we love others if we never go out of our way to serve others or even to notice them. Same apostle wrote today a text, also wrote a letter in 1 John 3:18. He said, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. You serve because you love." Because you love someone. And the second reason you serve is you serve because it's the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. That means you serve even when others don't fully appreciate or accept what you're doing. And if you've ever tried to serve somebody, and I suspect 99% of us in this room have, there's been those times when it didn't seem so appreciated by the person we were trying to serve. You kind of think, what's with that? I'm serving you. You should be happy. This should make you feel good. And it does sometimes just the opposite, it would seem. And so we wonder, why would that happen? And it's interesting. That night, a Thursday night, that Monte Thursday, at that room, Judas Iscariot was there. Judas Iscariot had already sold Jesus out. He was turning him over to the Pharisees so that he can be killed for 30 pieces of silver. But he's in that room, and Jesus is washing his feet. Who else is in that room? Peter is in that room. Peter's in the room, and in fact, Lot's conversation is with Peter, and Peter is going to deny him the next night. Jesus knows that's going to happen, and yet Jesus is washing his feet. And so, you serve not because people are going to appreciate it. You serve because it's the right thing to do. No matter what the reaction is or what the response is, you do that. Verse 7, Jesus says to the disciples, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And sure enough, he was right about that. Go figure. He said, you're uncomfortable with what I'm doing, but you're gonna get it here pretty soon. You're gonna understand what's happening. And sometimes the good you do will go unnoticed. Sometimes it's gonna go unacknowledged. Sometimes it's gonna go unappreciated. And if you serve either for recognition you expect to receive, or you're gonna be often disappointed because you're not gonna get that recognition. Several years ago, I had a pastor friend who was working with a group of people at his church, and he said, you know, one night we were having our discussion time in our small group, and he said, one of the ladies, after a person had spoken, she gave the guy who had spoken an acknowledgement. She said, good job. I appreciate that. And the man just continued, and he sat down and went on, didn't acknowledge that at all. And the lady said, excuse me, I just gave you a compliment. And the man looked at her, and he said, I heard you. What do you want? Do you want a receipt? Now, I'm not siding with the guy who was being, you know, rude and not doing that, but on the other hand, I'm not siding with the lady either who gave the compliment. Because in a sense, he was right. If you're only doing good, if you're only loving people so that you got a receipt, and someday you're going to get to heaven and you're going to lay all your receipts out before God and say, boy, look at all the good things I did, you're going to be sadly disappointed, because we don't serve to get that kind of credit. We don't serve to get those receipts, because, first of all, a lot of times that receipt just may not show up. You're not going to get that. And that illustrates one of the challenges we all face when we serve. Sometimes you're going to help someone, and no one will ever know about it. Sometimes you're going to help someone, and they'll act like it never happened. Sometimes you're going to serve somebody in love, and they're going to act entitled for more help. They're going to say, boy, you helped me yesterday. I want you to help me again today. I want you to serve me again today. Can you imagine that night when Peter is served by Jesus Christ? If the next night when they come, his first words were, you know, Jesus, you washed my feet yesterday. Can you wash them again right now? As if he was entitled to that. If you've never had somebody act entitled after you help them do something, just keep helping enough. Somebody, you're going to come into somebody who's going to do that. They're either going to pretend like it never happened, or they're entitled to it, or they're just not ever going to acknowledge it, and it'll never get acknowledged in public at all. And so if what we do is to get noticed at all, it's going to soon just disappear. It's just not going to stand the test of time. And so we help others. We serve others because it's the right thing to do. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Jesus said this. He says, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. So we give because we love, and we love and serve because we love, and we serve because it's the right thing to do, and we serve, thirdly, because it gives you meaning. It's going to give your life meaning. Your individual acts of service and ministry may go unnoticed and unacknowledged, and when you're serving others, however, it becomes a lifestyle, and it will certainly make its mark on the world around you. But you just do it. You just keep doing that because it becomes your legacy at some point. The legacy of love. It defines who you are. It sharpens your purpose. It gives your life meaning. Most of you have heard the name Albert Schweitzer. You may not know all of his story, but he's a great example of serving people and giving your life meaning. Albert Schweitzer was this remarkable guy. He was a brilliant man. He had two earned doctorates by his early 20s. He had a doctorate in philosophy and a doctorate of theology, and he was a renowned organist, and he wrote highly acclaimed works on theology and philosophy and Christology. He even wrote a biography of Johann Sebastian Bach. He had this promising career as an academic. He was working at a seat teaching at a university, but instead of pursuing that life of prestige and comfort, he yielded to this deep conviction that he had that a life worth living must be a one of service. He said, I can't keep doing what I'm doing the way I'm doing it. God's called me to serve, and I have to serve in a different area. So he resigned his chair at the university and enrolled instead at a medical school, the School of Medicine, and became a doctor, became a physician. And then he and his wife, when he graduated, moved to Gabon in mid-Africa, where they began hospitals and leper colonies to care for the sick and the poor. And very significantly, he chose to live in the midst of all of them. He said, if I'm going to love them, I'm going to love them with all I have, and I'm going to be here in the midst of them. At the age of 30, he did that, shocked everyone, became a physician, and then left for Central Africa. He never regretted his choices. He never was sorry for what he did, because in spite of the hardships he faced, he had health problems, he had financial problems, he had physical problems, but he never believed that he had given anything up of importance. He loved people, and he served them. And he served them to the very end. In fact, you may remember, I quoted this before. He said, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. If you're thinking, I don't know where happiness is, I don't know where purpose and fulfillment is at, it's in service. You find that place of service. Christianity has never been about an hour sitting in a pew once a week. No matter if you never miss, that's not the definition of Christianity. Christianity is always about serving. Serving on that Sunday, but also serving between that Sunday and the next Sunday. Every day, we are called to serve. That's why Jesus said in verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be what? You will be blessed if you do them. He said, now that you know that I came to serve, that I'm serving you and I'm going to serve you to the end, you're going to be blessed if you pick up a life of service. And you do that to the very end. So you serve because you love, you serve because it's the right thing to do, and you serve because it makes life meaningful. And Jesus said it this way again in Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Friends, a life that is marked by service is a great life. whether it gets recognition or not, whether it pays off or not, a life of service is a road to greatness. Greatness in God's eyes, greatness in what he does. And so Jesus finished washing his disciples' feet that night. He said to them, verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you." My prayer is, Lord, in the lives that we live between Sundays, may we serve our Lord and Savior by serving one another. Let's pray. Father, what a radical idea in a world that is so egocentric, that is so ego-based. A world that says, I'm going to get mine and I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to get what I can, while I can, all that I can. And I'm not really concerned about anybody else. Maybe me and my wife, our two kids, us four and no more, but not really caring about anybody else. Father, help us to realize our call is to be servants, to demonstrate a servant's heart, to go where their heart leads us, to serve, because there are people around us who have no one that loves them, but you love them. And how are they going to know that if they don't see people beginning to love them who are Christians? There are so many things that, Father, that society tells us and culture tells us will get us to greatness. But ultimately, we just serve because it's the right thing to do. Because Jesus loved and served us. And he still does. We want that meaning in our lives. But we're going to find it in service. So Father, today, would you forgive us when we have been unfaithful in this task that you've given? We've ignored this command when we've not been blessed as you want to bless us. Father, make us your servants today. There may be somebody here, there may be somebody online with us who doesn't know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And we pray that today they would make that choice to say yes to Jesus and his love. That they would understand that it was Jesus Christ, your Son, your very Son, who 2,000 years ago came into this world and died, taking on their sin and paid the price for it so that they might be saved, so that they might be made new, so that they might have a new heart that is not concerned about what's best for me, but what am I doing that will benefit others now? Father, we pray that today would be that first day that they enter into that new life because they confess their sin and trust Jesus to be Lord and Savior. Father, we pray now that you'd continue to speak to us even as we make decisions. We pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand together as we sing. If God's speaking to you, won't you come?
Thank you for joining us today for Faith Point. Reach us online at firstsouthernpv.org or stop by to worship with us if you are in the Prescott Valley area. May God richly bless you today as you allow your faith to intersect with your life.